grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Hear the word of the Lord from Acts chapter 16 and verse 9. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia, help us." And friends in Christ, that's the way it started. That's the way that Paul and his friends changed all their plans overnight, and they headed in a completely different direction than they had had in mind. And that decision shaped, really, all of Paul's second missionary journey, and we still reap the benefits of that decision today. Because it was on that trip through Macedonia that the church of the Philippians got started. And the church of the Thessalonians and the church of the Corinthians. A lot of our New Testament flowed out of that one thing. It all happened because one man heard God's call and did what God told him to do. But that's not the only one, right? Paul wasn't the only one that did something like that. Of course, God also doesn't always rely on visions and dreams to set the direction for his people. When you think about it, about 175 years ago, one pastor in America wrote some letters back to the guys in Germany begging the German Lutherans to send people over to help them, right? And based on those letters, this tiny group of German Lutherans came with their pastor and settled in the Saginaw Valley. And they started doing mission work among the Chippewa, and they built this little church that they called St. Lawrence. Where would we be to worship if it hadn't been for those letters? There have been others, right? Lots of others. I mean, they're called from every part of the world, sent to every part of the world, and they all had the same purpose: to serve God by bringing the gospel message where it was needed the most. And they went, to borrow a phrase from Scripture, they went because the fields were ripe for harvest. Right? You remember when Jesus said it. You know the saying, this is John chapter 4. You know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest. I say, wake up, look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. And he also told his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. That's the way it's been. God's servants are called by God, sent by God's people, and when God's servants respond to God's call, he blesses the work. I mean, over and over again in the book of Acts, you read, it says, the word of the Lord grew, the word of the Lord spread. And it spread not just among faithful Jewish people, not just among the priests and the Levites. It spread among the heathen. You got Athens, you got all these Roman colonies, that we, like Philippi and all these other places. Heathen coming to know the Lord. Go missionaries, good old missionaries, you go get them heathen. Preach the word. Give them heaven, Harry, or Heinrich or whatever his name is. And that's still the way it is today, isn't it? I mean, your average American cannot pull up stakes and go halfway around the world, preach to some new group of people. So you find somebody else to do it and send them. And that's okay. I mean, it better be okay, or I shouldn't be up here preaching to you guys, right? There's nothing wrong with sending missionaries, but tell me this. Is that the only way that the body of Christ grows? Are these evangelist types going far away the only ones who have the charge to preach the good news to all creation? Mark 16. Come on, guys, I know it's a Lutheran church, but you can respond. This is yes, this is no. Are they the only ones that have the responsibility or the privilege of sharing the gospel? No. Oh, yeah, there we go. Now, that's exactly what I want to talk about with you today. See, when I look in the New Testament, and I look at the list of the gifts and the callings that God gives in various places in here, I see a lot more than just evangelist. I see things in these lists like preachers, teachers, administrators, and that is a gift of God. If you do not have the gift of administration, you are so thankful when the people that are above you do have it, right? But I see things like that. I see callings for people to be a husband or a wife, father, mother, to be good and faithful workers at your job. I see gifts listed here. Not just like tongues and healing and all that stuff. I see gifts listed like hospitality, wisdom, even giving and helping. Why do you think all of those gifts of the Spirit are listed if evangelizing the heathen is all that really matters? Well, the answer, obviously, is that evangelizing the heathen is not all there is to the Christian church. It's important, of course it is. It's crucial, but it's not all there is. And I'll tell you why I think that God gives all these different gifts to different people in his kingdom. And I want you to think about it this way. How many of you are or have been involved in farming? Okay. Now, do you have only one type of machine in your shed? No. No. You know that you got these fields out there, if you got corn or beans or wheat or whatever it is, you know that there's got to be more than one tool in your collection if you're going to make those fields produce. You need to disc the soil, you need to plant the seeds, you need to fertilize, you need to water, you need to harvest, you need to bale the hay, all that kind of stuff. If all you had was a floater, you know, one of those spray pesticide trucks or something, how are you going to break up the fallow ground? And if all you have is a disker, how are you going to get the mature grain from the field into the barn? You need all kinds of tools, each one used in the right way at the right time if you're going to bring in the harvest. And it's the same thing with God's people, his church. He gives his people everything they need for the places that he has put them. And that brings me to the other thing I think a lot of people forget. the spiritual fields that are ripe for harvest are not just overseas somewhere, okay? God's mission field is not just limited to those faraway places like Korea or Kenya. There are fields ripe for harvest all around you. Around you. I mean, I saw them when I was living in New York. I was working as a CPA before I went into pastoral ministry. And I'll tell you what. The business, the American business world is a great mission field. I've seen fields ripe for harvest working as a pastor in the rural Midwest. Every congregation has needs to meet. And I see fields ripe for harvest now. As I teach, you know, as a missionary, my job is a theological educator. I don't go knocking on doors. I train the next generation of the indigenous people to go and reach their own. And you want to talk about fields ready for harvest. Oh, my goodness. But see, everywhere, there are souls in need. And from everywhere, God calls his people to meet those needs, whether they are the unbelievers who need to hear and trust in Jesus Christ, or whether it's fellow Christians who are just crushed by whatever they're going through and they need someone to stand with them. Either way, who's going to do it? Who's going to answer that call like Isaiah? Say, here am I. Send me. Because I'll tell you what. I know that God has created those people. And I know that he has given them the gifts and the talents and everything they need for the places he has put them. I mean, you remember what Ephesians 2:10 says? Yeah, see, everybody knows 2, 8, and 9. Those are like those Lutheran standard verses, right? Whereas by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not lest any man should boast. We know those. Go get them. Who remembers that Paul went on to say, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. I think that's key. We are not here by accident. None of us. God gives life. There are no accidental births. Life is not a series of random events, and it's not a bunch of the results of choices that you happen to have made. Almighty God chose to make you. You personally, you individually, just the way you are. He created you with a certain set of gifts, and he created you for a specific purpose. There are good works, important things in God's mind that are for you and you only to do. That kind of puts a different perspective on your everyday life, doesn't it? It's not, oh, it's another day, but like, wow, God, you have given me another day. What do you want me to do with your day today, Lord? What's your calling for me today? Because God has created each one of us exactly the way we are to be part of his body, the church. And God doesn't make junk. He doesn't make mistakes. And the same way he created our physical bodies to be so that like when every part works together, then the body is healthy and strong. So also he has created his body, the church, his local fellowship, not the building, okay? He has created the people of God to be healthy and strong and productive when all of the parts of the body are involved and active. Listen to what Paul says, 1 Corinthians 12. Whole chapter is great on this, but I'm just going to read a couple of verses here. He says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but the same God works all of them in all people. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And you, plural, are the body of Christ, and each one of you, singular, is a part of it. See, God created and he shaped his people, his church, in such a way that each one of us is important in its overall health and effectiveness. And you see, there are no spare parts in God's body. There are no unnecessary parts in his body there, any more than there are spare parts or unnecessary or unimportant parts in this body. Remember when they used to think the appendix was just this leftover evolutionary appendage, unnecessary, right? And anybody else, I see a few people that are at least as old as I am. Anybody else remember when they used to have 2-for-1 specials on tonsillectomies? Do you remember this? I was just a kid, but my older brother had tonsillitis, and they sent my sister along with him. Might as well get him out. She was not happy. But that's how it was, because 1960s science said that tonsils are unnecessary. Might as well get them out. There's nothing but a nuisance. Of course, now they know it's part of the lymph system, right? And it keeps you healthy and good things. But hey, man knew better than God, right? Not true of this body. Not true of this body. There is nobody that God considers just an extra, a backup pew sitter kind of person. It's not the way it is, okay? Now, for the body to do its work, everything needs to be functioning. And for this body to do its work, whether it's making disciples, glorifying God, loving one another, whatever it is, for the body to do that well, every part of the body needs to be involved. Every part needs to be doing its own thing. And no part of the body is more important or less important than any other, because we are all serving the body and we are all being directed by and serving the head, Jesus Christ, right? Because, I mean, he's the one that took the nails. He's the one that gives us life. He took the punishment that we really, really deserved so that we could have fellowship with him and fellowship with each other. And he offers that life and that forgiveness and that peace that's beyond understanding to everyone. It's just that a lot of people don't know, don't believe, or they have gotten to the place in their life that they are so worn down that they've lost sight of the truth. And they need the body to rally around them and build them up. That's what we've got. I mean, it's really not about you and me and how great we are in something in particular. It's about Jesus. It's about that simple message. All we've been entrusted with is the chance to bring that good news to other people. Whether you're working in maintenance or whether you're working in an office, or whether you're waving the arms up front of a congregation, all the parts of the body work together because it's Jesus that calls us to it. And he's the one that gives us the power. Because he didn't just die on the cross 2,000 years ago. He reached down into this mess of a world and he chose you personally. He chose you specifically and he washed you clean and he declares you forgiven and he loves you just the way you are. And he calls you, he invites you to be part of his body. And Paul tells us what happens when it's working right. Ephesians 4:16, he says, Jesus makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. How great does that sound? Brothers and sisters, the point to remember here is that God's mission is not just about missionaries serving in some faraway place. It's not just about pastors. It's not just about teachers. It's not about any one particular group that you want to name. But the need is just as great in Michigan as it is in Madagascar. And the parts of the body who live here are just as important, just as needed for the kingdom as anybody else, anywhere else. Your work, your life, your pursuits, your needs matter to God. So do what he has given you with all of your might. He has a purpose in mind for you, helping this fellowship grow healthy and strong. And outside the walls of the church, your Michigan neighbors need Jesus Christ just as much as any native living in the jungle or any unsaved businessman living in Korea. I mean, the fields are definitely ripe there, especially if this peace talk stuff goes forward. Can you imagine the mission field available there? We're just like 50 miles from the DMZ. And we've got a whole bunch of students that we're training to go and make disciples of their indigenous brothers and sisters across the border. That would be awesome. But even if the peace talks don't go forward, you know, only 1/3 of South Korea is Christian. That leaves like 34 million other souls who are living and dying apart from saving faith in Jesus Christ. So, I mean, rejoice with us for the mission fields, the opportunities in Asia, and thank you for your help as we do our work. Thank you for the support that you give us. But brothers and sisters, even as you do that, I want you to remember Jesus' advice here that I read just a minute ago. Wake up and look around you. See the fields that are ripe for harvest right in your hometown. Don't be thinking about what other gifts other people have and how you just... No, embrace the gifts and the plan that God has prepared for you. Acknowledge the roles and the skills and the station in life where he's placed you and answer the call with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Do it for the sake of the body. Do it for the love of your head, Jesus Christ, your Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, serving the head to life everlasting. Amen.